This morning, for some of you, this will be the last time I see you until after Christmas. So let me say to all of you, Belva and I, we wish you a very merry and safe Christmas. Having said that, I do want to encourage as many of you that can to join us on Tuesday evening right here at 6 o'clock. A one-hour service. We're going to have carols. We're going to have candlelight. We're going to have communion together in just one of my favorite services of the year. Just very quiet, very intimate. Encourage you to invite your family and friends. Start at 6 o'clock. We'll be over in right out about an hour. And allow you time to go on about whatever your Christmas Eve tradition or plans are for this year. So I do want to encourage you to join us if you can. Well, Friday morning, I got up and did my normal routine. I got my coffee and I sat down and I did my Bible reading. And then I did what so many of us do. I opened up Facebook and began kind of scrolling and looking at what has gone on the night or the day before. And I ran across a post from a friend of mine. I've known her. Belva and I have known Lisa Bell for about 26 years. Her parents were members of our very first church and still very dear friends of ours. And Lisa has always been a single mother for many years. Now is a grandma, and for years lived in Florida as a successful businesswoman. A couple of years ago, she sold out in Florida and moved to Dallas to go to work for another company, and was doing very well. And as I began reading, I want to read, this is unedited, don't worry, there's nothing bad in it, but I wanted to read what she posted Friday morning. She says, it's 6:20 a.m. on Friday morning. I'm up without the benefit of an alarm, sitting here with a cup of coffee, my dog on my lap, a load of laundry in the washer, and I have absolutely nothing on my calendar. For the first time in my professional career, I'm unemployed. It's an odd feeling, being part of a workforce reduction a week before Christmas with no severance package beyond the 2 weeks in lieu of notice wasn't how I expected to end the year. However, I'm not worried or upset. It's an opportunity to start off the new year with a new adventure. It's an opportunity to find a company that I'm proud to work for and enjoy being a part of. I already have several interviews lined up. Life doesn't always go the way we plan, but it's more productive to roll with it and adapt than throw a temper tantrum and rail against circumstances. So here's to a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with lots to look forward to. Stay tuned. You never know where I might pop up next. As I thought about that, I had already had my thoughts together for this morning on speaking to you. What do we do when God messes up our plans? I love when God drops illustrations right in my lap. Lisa had no idea she was going to end the year in the unemployment line. She had a successful career. And as we begin, as we look in our final message of the purpose of Christmas, and we look specifically at how God when God messes up our plans, probably every single one of us here this morning in some way or another can look back on our life this last year, kind of Christmas message and kind of a hybrid Christmas message and end of the year, New Year message. Every single one of us could probably look back in our life and think, anybody not have an aha moment this year where God kind of stepped in and did something that you totally did not expect for Him to do? It may be good, it may be bad, it may be that the jury is still out. But every single one of us has experienced that in some way or another, to some degree or another this year. But you know, we're not alone in this, because if you think about it, the Christmas story, God coming to earth, taking on human flesh, being born in the manger, was not what anybody except God the Father had planned in humanity. It messed up a whole lot of people, went sideways with the birth of Jesus Christ. For Mary and Joseph, they certainly had their plans changed, didn't they? I mean, they were a young couple engaged to be married. They had thoughts of moving to town and maybe opening up a little a cabinet-making shop or something of that nature. They had no idea that God was going to throw their plans sideways like he did. They just wanted to live a peaceful and quiet life in the middle of their preparations. An angel comes and says, "By the way, Mary, guess what? You're going to have a baby." A what? A baby. And it gets even better, because don't get upset, but it's never been done this way before. You're going to have a baby, and it's not going to be the conventional way. Oh, really? So now go and tell your husband to be. And by the way, if that weren't enough, the child you are carrying, he will be, well, he'll be God. Really, you say? I mean, you can kind of hear the conversation playing out. I know what I've said to God in a whole lot less crazy circumstances, right? God messed their plans totally up. God messed up the plans of King Herod. He had power securely in his grasp. You know, Herod was the king of Judea. He had been appointed by the Roman Empire, and he was to be king over Israel, and he wasn't even Jewish. That was something. And he was not about to let anything or anyone come in and mess up his plans. I mean, it was sewn up. The deal was sealed. He was going to be king. In fact, you've probably heard some of this before, but, you know, Herod was, he was just a little bit of a control freak. Any of those here this morning, I know who you are. You don't like it when God messes up your plans. Neither did Herod. Herod was paralyzed and paranoid about being overthrown because he wasn't Jewish. And so he literally had his entire family killed. Mothers, brothers, even some children. He had his two sons killed for fear that he would lose his position of power. And when he heard that the king of the Jews had been born in Bethlehem, he went all kind of crazy. He went out and declared an order that every baby under 2 years of age in Bethlehem should be killed in order to make sure that his kingdom would not be overthrown. You've read the story. That is what I call the very dark side of Christmas. You know, Christmas is all about lights and angels and proclamations and laughter and miracles and joy. But do you realize that Christmas has a very dark side to it? Every child, every male child under 2 years of age, just in case I miss him. So not only did Christmas mess up Mary and Joseph's life, not only did Christmas mess up Herod's life, but Christmas messed up a whole lot of other families' lives when they would never see their child grow into adulthood. The dark side of Christmas. And some of you are experiencing a dark side of Christmas this year. Their plans got turned sideways. They had their plans messed up by Christmas. They had been praying for a Messiah. Everyone was praying for a Messiah. That wasn't the issue. The Messiah simply means anointed one. I mean, they were looking for him, riding in on a white horse, right? They were looking to overthrow the Roman Empire, to get back up on top, to regain their position of power and authority and control. You think think Herod was a control freak, so were the religious leaders of the day. They were control freaks too. They had it all figured out. They were praying that God would send them a Savior, but they wanted a political Messiah, a political Savior. Be careful today. Be careful. They weren't looking for a spiritual Savior. They were looking for someone to come in and to put them back up in the majority. Listen, even in 2019, God never intended His church to be in the majority. Be careful what you wish for. We have always been the minority with force and power, but spiritual force and spiritual power. They were looking for someone to come in and overthrow the Roman Jewish nation. And all of a sudden, Jesus was born and He grows up and He starts saying things like, love your enemy, do good to those who despise you, pray for those who despise you, return good for evil, love your neighbor as yourself. And they were like, what? That was not a part of their plan to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile. That was not part of the plan. The innkeeper at that first Christmas certainly didn't plan for all the extra crowd. Mary and Joseph found that out. That's why he had to put Mary and Joseph out in the back. He hadn't planned. That wasn't part of his year-end review. And of course, the shepherds, they were content to be out in the field because they were nobodies and they had planned on living life out that way. And yet the angel says, go and see. And then they say, we've come and we've seen and we cannot keep it silent. Nobody listened to shepherds. They couldn't even give testimony in court. That's how low on the social ladder they were. They were content to live life in obscurity, not to go and tell it on the mountain or anywhere else. It messed up their plans. This morning, as we look at Christmas, I want to try to answer two questions for you. Really, I want to try to answer two questions for you this morning. A why and a how. Why does God mess up our plans? Because let's face it, if He hasn't, just hang on, okay? Because He will. Okay? He will mess up your plans. So the first question I want to try and answer is, why does God mess up our plans? And secondly, the how. How do we respond? Because it's going to happen, and when it happens, you need to know how to react or how to respond. So let's kind of go with that. First off, when God changes or messes up your plans, He's trying to get your attention. We are, even the best of us, we are thick-headed and hard-hearted sometimes. And there's an old saying that says that God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. And sometimes it's only through our pain that we stop long enough to listen. Pain is God saying to you, is anybody there? Is anybody listening? And God's plan for Mary and Joseph, so incredible, so awesome, was so unbelievable, was so ridiculously out of the ordinary that He had to do something extraordinary or out of the ordinary in order to convince them that it was really going to happen. So what did He do? He sent an angel. And you can read it there in Luke and in Matthew. You read that conversation. Mary said, how can this be? And yet, God said something to Mary that if she had not been listening, she would have missed. He said, you have found favor in God's eyes. Now I want you to just think about that for a moment because sometimes we put Mary way up there, and obviously there are some denominationals that put Mary way up there. And I'm not ragging on anybody, but God saw something in Mary. And because God saw something in Mary, he flipped her life upside down. Can I just say to you that God sees something in you? Don't take your world being turned upside down as God punishing you. It's God getting your attention and saying, I have something really big for you. You have found favor. Anytime God focuses his attention on your life, you have found favor in God's eyes. Now, he may not send an angel to you. In fact, he may have it. Angels are called messengers. That's all they are. So God may be sending you messengers. Messengers can come in all sorts of different forms. That's why I don't want to call them an angel, because we have kind of these ideas about angels. But God sends messengers into your life to speak to you and to say, listen, God's got something going on. Wake up. Pay attention. So for you, God doesn't have to send you an angel to you. But you do have to listen. And you know the best way to listen to God? You know the best way to listen to know the will of God for your life is to stay in the Word of God. I cannot stress that enough. Regular time in God's Word. I won't say daily, that's best, but I don't want to throw anybody on a guilt trip, but regular time in God's Word. Because God will not lead you in a direction that is opposite of His Word. His will will never go opposite of His Word. They work together. So if you want to know the will of God, stay in the Word of God. Whatever form it is, it doesn't matter if it's written, if it's, you know, you got it on your phone, you got it on your listening device, you got it playing in your car. Stay in the Word of God, because that's where you will find the will of God. The Bible says in Psalm 81, verses 11 and 12, says, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel did not obey me, so I gave them over to their stubborn heart to follow their own plans. Now, so again, the best way to know the voice of God is to read the Word of God. Because that is where He speaks clearest, is through His Word. He speaks clearest through His Word. Not through your pastor, not through a TV preacher, not through some book, but through God's Word. And then, and only then, you consult with your friends, your other people. Is this what I'm reading? This is what I'm feeling? This is what I'm hearing? And then you share with other trusted individuals. And here's another good reason, very practical reason why you need to stay in the Word of God. Because if they are giving you advice and it's not in line with the Word of God, you better just forget what they're saying. Okay? Because I know all kind of people. Well, I think. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what I think you should do. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it's just so much hooey, okay? So you stay in the Word. Because God changes our plans and messes up our plans because He is trying to get our attention. Secondly, when God changes or messes up your plans, it also means that God has a better plan. Now, hang on with me for a while, because this is a little tough. Jeremiah 29:11, it's a verse that if you've been following Jesus for very long, you can probably quote it by heart. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. And I know that is a really hard pill to swallow sometimes, because we're still waiting for the future and the hope. We're still waiting for the part of disaster, right? we're still waiting for that part. And I admit that that's a hard pill to swallow. That verse was originally spoken to God's people who were in rebellion. He spoke this to them while they were in rebellion. But God always has a bigger and a better plan. God had a bigger and better plan for His people. And so He said, I have a plan for you. What you're doing is not my plan. I have a better plan for a future and a hope. They were not doing what God wanted them to do. And He said, I have a better plan. So let me talk to you about God's better plan for your life, because we know some things about God's plan when He says, I'm going to change your plans. God always has a bigger plan for you. I mean, Mary and Joseph just wanted to open up a cabinet-making shop. And God said, I have a bigger plan for your life. And we also know it's a better plan. Again, just hear me out. We know it's a more rewarding plan. But don't miss this. God's plan is always bigger. It's always better. It's always more rewarding. But it is seldom easier. It's seldom easier. It's seldom pain-free. It's seldom problem-free. I mean, Mary and Joseph's plan was, let's just get married, have a baby, settle down, open up a cabinet shop, and God said, no, I'm going to use you as a couple to bless the entire world. And they had no idea what that meant. God's plan was a whole lot bigger for their life than they ever imagined. And God's plan is bigger for your life than you can imagine. Even with all the ugly and all the ups and downs, God has a bigger plan. And if you go with your plan instead of God's plan for your life, you're going to limit your life. You see, God looks at you with great potential. You don't think you can do what God thinks you can do. You don't think you can handle what God thinks you can handle. And that's why He dumps some really hard stuff on you sometimes. I just believe that. Because let's just be honest, you and I, left to ourselves, I will always take the easier way out. I will always take the less, the more pain-free or the less painful way out. And God doesn't do that because He sees great potential in you. And so God's plan is more rewarding. It's significant. It's a key to satisfaction, but it is rarely ever quicker and easier. But it is always best. In fact, the Bible says you know why it's better to go with God's plan? Because you cannot even fathom the plan that God has for you. We're limited. Let's go back to a moment to that verse in Psalm 81 that I said, hold on to that. What did God say? He said that He would give them over to their own plans. Now, your plan may look good. I mean, none of us make plans for our lives that don't look good, right? You know, I mean, I'm just being positive and honest about it. We all make some pretty good plans. And when we think about it, we even pray about it, right? I mean, I understand that. You pray about it and you seek God's will and you stay in God's word and you've got a plan. But it's still really limited. And God's word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love Him. You know why it's best to go with God's plan? Because back in Psalm 81, He said, they didn't listen to me, so I left them up to your plan, to their own plans. Your plan is too small. Your plan is limited. You can't even begin to imagine what God wants to do in your life. And even when it involves some ugly, some not fun or nice stuff, you would never imagine that for yourself, would you? I wouldn't. we're just not smart enough to even imagine what God wants to do with our lives. I truly believe that. But God's plan is at times harder. I don't want to kid you about that. There is this idea, I think we're getting more and more away from, but there is this idea, you know, just I want you to give your life to Jesus. If I could have one prayer answered for every single person this morning, it would be that you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, and that when you leave this earth, you will spend an eternity with Him in heaven. I want you to know that, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this service if you have not yet done that. But I want you to hear me very clear. That does not mean life will be problem-free. That does not mean life will be a bed of roses. We have sold too many people a bill of goods. Just give your heart to Jesus and everything will be okay. It is not always going to be okay this side of eternity. I want you to hear me on this. I want you to hear this. At times, God's plan is harder. Sometimes when you're going with God's plan, it seems even more confusing. Trust me, I get that. Like, why is this happening to me? And it's more difficult, and sometimes it's even more painful. When you think about Mary and Joseph and the whole world, blessing the whole world, that was not an easy plan. It was easy for her to face 9 months of criticism, constant. God, just they didn't sleep together. I mean, come on. We know how things work, right? So do they. Yeah, right. Joseph, can you believe she ended up with him? She could do so much better. Yeah, they can say what they want, but I know better. Would you believe that if your fiance came and told you that? Or your daughter or your son came and told you that? It was hard. I mean, they were scorned. They were outcasts. And then not only that, the day before she delivers, they have to go to Bethlehem and they have to take a census on that day before she delivers. And any moms here want to testify to riding a donkey at 9 months? Yeah. Belva and I went horseback riding on our honeymoon. Big, big. She's never been on a horse since. I mean, it wasn't easy, folks. It was painful for Mary to have to do all of that and to give birth all by herself. No mom around, no family around. And so the plan was difficult, but it was a plan of promise. Mary didn't understand it. Joseph didn't understand it. I'm sure she asked 1,000 times. You know, I'm really careful to add any. I don't ever want to add anything to God's word, but we can read between the lines, and you know what Mary's doing. Why? 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 How can this be? I can't do this. God's plan may be better, may be more significant, may be rewarding, but it is seldom easier. There are some things that are happening in your life right now that you're saying, why? Why? This is not what I had planned, God. And you're not going to understand them for a really long time. And finally, when God messes up your plans, He's saying, I want you to learn to trust me. When your plans fall through, God is saying, trust me. Imagine how this whole Christmas thing tested Joseph's faith. You know, we talked about that. Now, let me get this right, Mary. You're saying it's God. Well, that's what he said. Imagine how many times Mary had to trust God and his whole, and not just through the birth process. Do you remember when they brought Jesus to the temple and they saw Anna and Simeon? And Simeon said, just before he told the Lord to take him, he said, this child will be the rise and fall of nations, and many will oppose him. How would you like that said over your baby, over Tucker, over Rosie or Lena? And many will oppose him. And in fact, when the angel came and spoke all those words in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says that Mary did what? She treasured all these. She pondered. She tucked away all these things in her heart because she knew. And it wasn't just the birth that she had to trust God for when she had to sell the carpenter shop because Joseph died. And when she had to see her son hanging on. All through his life, she's going, I have to trust God for this. I have to trust God for this. I have to trust God for this. You know, God's plan for their lives was so different that all they could do was trust him. There was nothing else that they could do but to simply trust God. And you know, I believe with all my heart that every single one of us and most people that you talk to on the street, they want to please God. I mean, that's why they say, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. You know, they want to please God. They hope they've got enough. And how do you please God? How do you get into heaven? You can't be good enough. You can't. It's not through your relationships, except relationships. Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, that verse 11, we love that. But verse 13 is great too. Verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Pay attention to this real quick. When God messes up your plans and throws you a curveball, what we want to do is we want to seek solutions. We want to seek an escape. We want to seek an explanation. The Bible says when God messes up your plans, don't seek any of that. Just seek him. Just seek God. You know, we want a reason. We want a solution. We want to figure out why. We want to crawl in bed and pull the covers over our head. The Bible says seek me. Don't seek the solution. Don't seek the explanation. Seek me. Because that's called faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please God? Just trust him. Trust him. I said I wanted to answer two questions. First one was, why does God mess up our plans? It's because he wants to get your attention and because he has a better plan. He really does. The second question I want to answer is, how do we respond? And that's right here. We should respond in two ways. One is we seek him. We seek him. Not resolution, not resolve, not explanation, not a solution, or to the we seek God. Just run to God. The Bible says, when you seek him, you will find him. The second thing you do when you have a problem is you trust Him. And that's, seeking Him is easier than trusting Him sometimes. Trust Him. You trust that He knows what He's doing, that He's wise, that He's loving, that He cares for you, that He's going to see you through the situation. The Bible says, you know the verse, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It does not say that all things are good, but God will work them out if you seek Him and if you trust Him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The Bible says we know that God causes. Not we guess, not we hope. We know. For certain, we're confident. Everything that God brings in or allows to come into your life, throws your world upside down, will work for good if you will seek Him and trust Him. When your plans get changed, you just need to understand that it's a test. God's testing you. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust myself? We sang that song, O Holy Night. And I don't know if I have just wasn't paying attention all these years, but I love that one verse that says, in all our trials, born to be our friend. Wow. He wasn't born just to be a baby. He was born to be your friend, to be your Savior. Back in February, in fact, it was the day that Belva and I found out that her mother passed away, and we had a truck load of hygiene goods to deliver to the prison out here, to the women's prison. And so we were scrambling around making phone calls and meet everybody out there to unload so that we could take off California. And Sandy Bethune met us there, and I don't remember if she went in with them or not, but she told, I remember we got the truck all unloaded, and she said to the group of us gathered there, she said, would you pray for me? The doctors found something on my mammogram. And of course, the rest is history. She would have never asked for this year. Or maybe we do looking back sometimes, but not looking into it. And she's just one example. And I asked her if I could share this. She read it Wednesday evening, but I just wanted to share it with all of you because God, I feel confident that God messed up Sandy's plans this year. She wrote a little poem called Pieces. Knew me long before there were any pieces to form me. We are all made up of pieces molded together into unique beings created by God to be. Each piece has a specific purpose in His plan, a heart to love, a brain to guide, a soul to nurture and expand. Some of my pieces are no longer a part of me for various reasons. A hip that stopped working properly, a part of my lung with an early form of cancer, both breasts to fight cancer, and my hair. All were just pieces, and all these pieces God knew that I could spare. The great news is that the piece that has an eternal life is still growing and serving my Lord. This I pray that you can see. I guess that eternal part is not needed yet, but when it is, I pray that God will be pleased. What a great attitude. The great news is that the peace that has an eternal life is still growing and serving my Lord. You see, for all the stuff that God is doing in your life, all the changes that God may be making in your life. God has an eternal plan for you. And it's to spend an eternity with Him. And it begins this side of heaven. If you don't have that assurance, we want to give you that opportunity. It really will change everything you think about Christmas. It will change everything you think about life. I promise. Heavenly Father,